And so these are progressive lenses. So I'm learning how to, like, I can look down and read now, hopefully. We'll see how it works. This is my first, you know, I've had them for a couple of days. And sometimes when I turn like this, things are moving. So if I fall, I'm okay. And I also want to set you at ease, because although these lenses are progressive, Pastor Mike is not. I am a conservative, biblical, believing Christian. And so I am not a progressive. But anyway, praise the Lord. How's everyone doing today? Can you believe the incredibly cold weather we've been having? It's awesome that this September is like the best part of summer, and then I turn around and say, wait a minute, summer's over. It's fall now, but wow, we've been having great weather. So God is good. This is Freedom Sunday. And we're gonna be looking at quite a few different things this morning. Freedom Sunday, freedom from slavery. And I know, Pastor Sam opened up the service with Isaiah 61, which, you know, we'll be quoting also from the counterpart verse in Luke chapter 4 of that, where Jesus actually quoted from Isaiah 61. But he highlighted, you know, trafficking, sex slavery. But there's a lot more than just that. There's a lot of children that are doing manual labor that are slaves throughout the world, and older women, and possibly even men too. But the majority of them are women. Which is a crazy thing. And so one of the ministry that we've really decided to highlight this morning is the International Justice Mission. And they have over, I think, how many? I have it written down here somewhere. Oh, I don't have to take off my glasses. Okay. This is crazy. They have a team that includes more than 750 lawyers, investigators, social workers, community activists, and other professionals that work throughout 17 field offices all over the world, working to free slaves. We're going to meet one of them this morning and here in a few moments. But before we do that, I just wanted us to see God's heart about this. So I wanted us to look at a couple of verses of Scripture. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, let's first look at Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. And today, instead of reading verse of Scripture and praying, I'm just going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to be looking at some Scriptures and just talking about a few things. But Father, we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord God, that we live in a free country, that we are a free people. And Lord, yet we know, because we've had our eyes open, we know that in this free country, there are many people that are not free, that are bound in slavery. And throughout the world, Lord, there are many people that are bound in slavery. God, help us to see your heart today. And help us to know, what can we do? Help us to know what we can do, Lord. And Lord God, help us to do something. We don't want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. So speak to us, Lord God, today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1. He writes, again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of the oppressed. Isn't it pretty graphic here what Solomon was writing? Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. Wow. All right, now let's turn to Isaiah 59, and I want to read verses 14 to 17. And again, the International Justice Mission, because what they're desiring to bring is justice to those who are in slavery. And this is what the prophet Isaiah spoke from the Lord. He said, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. And so ultimately, as you know, we might close out with this, ultimately we see that as you and I are called to be ministers of justice in the world, ultimately the main agent of that justice is the Messiah. So let's look at the Messiah right now. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this is what is recorded for us in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16. It says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath." Did I skip a couple verses? I did. Verse 14 says, "And Jesus," I love this. I'm sorry. Verse 14. "And Jesus," he's just been through temptation in the wilderness. He's been tempted of the devil. Oh, by the way, I just saw Kenny and Pauline and Mark Thomas was here too. And I just wanted to mention that they've returned from the work that they were doing with disaster relief. And because we have a lot going on this Sunday, I didn't really have an opportunity to give them some time, but we're going to give them some time in one of these Sundays coming up to talk about the disaster relief and the work that they've been doing with some of the oppressed right here in our own land and in other ways. But anyway, I'm sorry, go back to my verse of scripture now. Jesus was being tempted of the devil. And it says in chapter 4, verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" This is Isaiah 61, what Pastor Sam read earlier. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." Now that word liberty means freedom. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom." Freedom Sunday. "He sent me to proclaim liberty. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives and recover," or to the captives, "and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty," to set at freedom those who are oppressed, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, with Jesus coming, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And there's three things that Jesus says here. He's going to preach, well, four. He's preaching the gospel to the poor. And who do these poor encompass? Well, they encompass freedom or liberty to captives, to those who are in captivity. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of God. We're getting a look right now at the heart of God. And his heart is to bring liberty to those who are captive. His heart is to give sight to the blind. And I believe that this means not only those who are physically blind, but even more so to those who are spiritually blind. And all of us at one time were in that category where we were blind. I'm reading Amazing Grace right now, the story of William Wilberforce. And it's an amazing, powerful story about how the Lord uses one man, how the Lord had to open up his eyes. Because one of the things that it shares in the book is that although slavery was a problem in England, this is in the 18th century, and all of this took place during the Revolutionary War, when they were at war with us. This is when William Wilberforce lived. But even though slavery was known about, it wasn't really well known in England, because most of the slaves that they captured, they were sent to the West Indies. So it was a huge problem, but it was like not really well known. And I thought to myself, slavery in the world right now is a huge problem, but it's not really well known. You and I don't even, in our regular days, it would never even dawns on us, the millions of people that are in slavery right now. We need men like William Wilberforce. I was reading somewhere. Where was I reading? Was I reading or was I just talking? I can't even remember now. I was somewhere. Somebody rewind the tape and tell me where I was. Huh? Oh, yeah, I was done reading. Thank you. Sight to the blind. That's where I was. I was on sight to the blind. And the other thing, the third thing is that he gave freedom to the oppressed. And that would also include those who are in captivity, but it doesn't necessarily have to be just those who are in captivity. But anyone who is oppressed, you know, and in this Ecclesiastes 4, and then power was in the hand of the oppressor, and they had no one to help them. God wants us to be those ones who help them. So I was thinking of justice. And I looked up this word justice in the Bible dictionary. And I just wanted to read a couple of things. First of all, from the Bible dictionary, it says, often people think of justice in the Bible only in the first sense as God's wrath on evil. But it says justice in the Bible very frequently also deals with benefits. You know, when we bring justice to the world, we are bringing a benefit to people. And in this case, we are rescuing someone. And it goes on and says, as various needy groups are the recipients of justice, the benefits of justice. And these groups include widows, orphans, resident aliens, also called sojourners or strangers, wage earners, the poor, and prisoners, slaves, and the sick. Each of these groups has specific needs which keeps its members from being able to participate in aspects of the life of their community. Even life itself might be threatened. Justice involves meeting those needs. Justice involves meeting those needs. The forces which deprive people of what is basic for community life are condemned as oppression. To oppress is to use power for one's own advantage in depriving others of their basic rights in the community. To do justice is to correct that abuse and to meet those needs. Injustice is depriving others of their basic needs or failing to correct matters when those rights are not met. Injustice, and this hit me, injustice is either a sin of commission or omission. So it's a sin of commission when we are involved in the injustice. In other words, when we are the people bringing the injustice, but when we're the ones that are being unjust, it's a sin of commission. But it's a sin of omission when we do nothing about it. And so that's what this Sunday is all about. It's to give sight to the blind. It's to open up our eyes to see that there is a need, and then to open up our hearts also to know that there is something that we can do about it, even if it's something small. Micah 6:8 says this, and we're going to be showing a video now of a young lady named Shanda from India. But Micah 6:8 says this, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Let's hit the lights, Ken, and then we're going to check out this video.
আমার নাম সাধনা। যখন ছোট ছিলাম তখন আমার ভয় বলে কিছু ছিল না। আমি যখন ছোট ছিলাম তখন গাছে উঠতাম, মাছ ধরতাম, তো তখন এইসব জিনিসে আমার কোনো ভয় থাকতো না, মানে তখন কোনো ভয় লাগতো না যে কে বকবে, কে মারবে। আমার সঙ্গে যেটা হয়েছিল সেটা থেকে আমি খুব ভয় পেয়ে গেছিলাম। আমার জীবনে কিছু হবে না, আর আমার জীবনে কোনো দাম নেই, আমি একটা মূল্যহীন মেয়ে হয়ে গেছি, তখন এরকমই হতো। এখন আগের থেকে আমি অনেক বেশি সাহসী হয়ে গেছি।
There are still thousands of other girls like Shadna. Waiting to be saved. It's an incredible story, and one that is replayed often, far too often actually. The International Justice Mission is a group, as I said already, of 700 lawyers, social workers, investigators, and they work with the public authorities, so the local authorities, to deliver and to save these people. And I talked last week, they help victims in four ways. They rescue, working with the local police to rescue victims from ongoing violence. They restore, working with social workers to restore the survivors to their community. They restrain, working with local police to restrain criminals. And they represent, working with the public prosecution to represent survivors in court. Because, many of us, we've all seen the movie Taken, right? It's maybe one of the first times we ever realized how big of a problem it was, but unfortunately we don't have a dad like that to come rescue us. That's why we need the International Justice Mission. And they also build relationships with the justice system, because sometimes the system's broken, and they uncover where the system is broken, and they prove that the system can work. And so to me, it's a powerful way, one of the powerful ways we can help. And we're going to be talking about in a moment about how we can give to the International Justice Mission. We will be taking up an offering for them in a moment also. Many of you maybe can't give a monthly gift to something like this, but some of you can. Maybe the Lord is speaking to some of your hearts today that maybe you can give. We'll talk about that again in a moment, and we'll have a table in the back where you can sign up to do that. But before we do that, I just want to read an email that was sent to me from Amanda from the IJM, from the International Justice Mission. And there's a picture that Shanda made. You can put it up there. And this is what it said: as the final days before your Freedom Sunday service wind down, our team has been in prayer for your staff. This is International Justice Mission. And for your congregation. We received a beautiful message from the team who is integral in Shanda's recovery, and we wanted to share it as additional encouragement and as a thank you for coming alongside IJM to share the message of God's heart for justice. The image attached to this email was painted by Shanda during her recovery. She explained that it is her heart's desire to see the church arise to combat slavery. Even in the darkest circumstances, God hears his people and he sees his people. He mourns for the marginalized and he loves justice. Shanna doesn't know every church by name or that Freedom Sunday is happening in over 2,700 churches worldwide, but she knows the redemptive power of God, of a God who loves her. Thank you for choosing to use Shanna's story to push back the darkness of slavery in the world. We are so blessed to have Edgewood Baptist Church participate in Freedom Sunday. As you share your story of justice, know that your message is the culmination of a dream born in a girl who society said was not important. We are so thankful for you. We will be praying for your message and the conversations that will happen afterward. Have a wonderful Freedom Sunday. Amen. So we want to let you know about IJM, but there's other things we can also do. And I asked Kristen, my sister-in-law, if she would come up and just share something else that that supports the International Justice Mission and other things. And this is what is called Dressember. So give her your attention for a moment here.
Get all worked up. I was thinking the first time I ever heard about slavery was probably the story of the Israelites in Egypt, when they had no option but to basically work and work and work for nothing for the Egyptians who were in power, because there's always the other side of the coin. There's the people with no power and the people with the power who maybe choose to not behave appropriately. That's saying it lightly. And then I was studying this week with my daughter Lily and learning about the early colonization of America and when people were taking over lands and finding ways across the sea, and learned that it was in the 1400s that the first African slaves were taken. I thought, oh my gosh, the 1400s. And then, of course, our own country really built on the backs of slavery. So this is no secret. But I found this quote. It says, "Nothing will happen just because we are aware of modern-day slavery, but nothing will ever happen until we are." And so I'm hoping that today, even if this is the first time you've contemplated this, that's good. Like, just let it be. It's a negative truth that is in our world, but we have the light, and we can make a change. So, Dressember is for the ladies in the room. And in 2005, a woman in college, her name was Blythe, she heard about trafficking. And she was, what can I do? She was horrified. And she was a fashion major. And she kept thinking, what can I do? What can I do? So she decided that through the month of December, she was going to wear a dress every single day and talk to her friends and everybody she could find about trafficking and slavery and all of that. So it sounds like kind of silly, but it is no silly thing. It has become a movement. And so this will be my third year participating. This is how it works. In the month of December, for the 31 days, you wear a dress every single day. You can wear the same dress every day. It doesn't matter. If you have five dresses, rotate them out. Ross has dresses for like $8.99. I got like five last year. But really, the point is that what we're going to do as a church is we're going to bring in pins and things like that that you can wear on your dress. And as you're going through your day, if it's 40 degrees out and you're wearing a dress, someone might be like, why are you wearing a dress? And you can tell them why you're wearing a dress. It's a very tiny little thing that we can do in our country. You know, be a little bit chilly, or maybe you don't like wearing dresses, it's a little uncomfortable for you. But it's a conversation starter. So Dressember started in 2013, and about maybe 1,000 people participated, and they raised $165,000. And then last year, over 10,000 women participated, and they raised $1.5 million. So it's a serious thing wearing a dress. So all of the money, IJM is one of their biggest, that was the first organization that they donated to. They've added a few others. In the coming weeks, you'll see me at a table in the back, and I'm going to have pins and more information for you. You can sign up to do Dressember in October. If there are enough of you, we could be one big team, and we can raise funds together. So it's really your choice, though. You can do it on your own if you want, or with your family. But it's just a small way to hopefully raise awareness for this problem. So I had like all these verses that I was going to say, but you've read all of them, Michael. So pastors. So. Thank you.
I've got more to come. Thank you, Kristen. For the men in the congregation, I actually was on the website this morning for Dressember, and it said dresses or ties. I don't know if you heard about that. So Imagine going to work at the mill and wearing a tie every day. Someone's going to ask you a question, what are you doing wearing a tie? And you're going to say, well, there's a reason I'm wearing my tie. You know, so there's also that opportunity. And maybe we'll see if there's any crazy guys out there. I don't know. Maybe I'll be a crazy guy. Of course, people say, in the old days, pastors used to always wear ties. And today I'm not wearing a tie. But anyway, that's another opportunity. So we are going to be taking up an offer. What time is it? Okay, I got a couple more minutes. I'd just like to share some things. You know, I asked myself this question. What about those who are never caught? Or those who are never rescued? You know, and I just want you to know that we do serve a just God. And justice is going to be served. I just want to read a few verses. First one is in Romans. Romans 14, verses 10 through 12. Says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And this is just one of the truths that even though we might sometimes say, well, why are there so many of them that are getting away with it? No, they will have to give an account of themselves to God. And then in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, these are just little verses that are hidden in the scriptures. But we will give account for every careless word we speak. And these are also some of the things we need to be praying for, because as I'm reading Amazing Grace, again, the story of William Wilberforce and how he, not single-handedly, but with the help of many others who were strongly convicted about this whole thing, helped overturn slave trade, you know, going on the slave ships and getting the slaves from Africa. But the first time William Wilberforce heard about it was by a man named John Newton, and most of you will know who John Newton is. He is the author of the hymn, the song Amazing Grace, and he himself was the captain of a slave ship, a slave trader. And so as we're praying, you know, first of all, you know, I think in my heart, I'm thinking, I want them people to get justice. And how much greater it would be for those to, like John Newton, to have their eyes open and turn and get delivered and to recognize that what they're doing is wrong and then become a member of the fight against slavery. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and the ushers to get themselves ready, because we're going to be taking up an offering here. But I also want you to know that Kristen and my son Joel, Pastor Joel, will be in the back of the church at a table. If the Lord has been tugging on your heart, one of the things that International Justice Mission has set up is what's called a Freedom Partner. So what is a Freedom Partner? A Freedom Partner are IJM's most faithful and consistent supporters. And they send rescue and restoration to children and families across the world by giving $24 or more a month to IJM. And so you can sign up today if you want to, if the Lord's tugging on your heart, or at least maybe take one of the cards that they have back there and pray about it. $24 a month. And they wanted us to let you know that in the month of September, there are donors that have said that if you will pledge to the International Justice Mission in September. There are donors that will match your pledge up to $400,000. So today, if you sign up in this month, your $24 will turn into $48. Or your $50 will turn into $100, whatever you can do. I know that it's not easy for us to do that, but again, this is something that we can reach out and do. So not only will we be taking up an offering for them, but also we will be giving you the opportunity to give on a monthly basis in the back there. And then, of course, Kristen will also be in the back. And if maybe some of you want to get involved in December, you can do that. But Jesus is desiring to bring freedom. Paul wrote, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not be enslaved and, in bondage again to a yoke of slavery. Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And really, it's our desire to see people freed. And there's nothing that's impossible with God. There's nothing that's too difficult for him. And when we get together as a people, what does the Bible say? It says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. And when we join together in this fight, one of the things we can know is, thank God, there's already all of these people in places, lawyers, social workers, investigators, rescuers. They're already in place all around, throughout the world, and we are giving them power to be able to work with local authorities and rescue people from this. Because one thing that, I don't know if I have the, I wanted to read a quote. I can still see better without my, I'm learning. Okay, here it is. I have to force myself. It says, while we sit here in church this Sunday and learn about the reality of slavery, there are thousands of traffickers using their power to keep people enslaved forever, all because slavery is profitable. They simply value money more than human life. It's very profitable. And so that's why our giving is so important. There's so much that we can do. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And right now, let's just pray. And ask the Lord what he would want you to do. I know a lot of you already give to a lot of things, and maybe right now you just can't do that. God understands that. I'm not trying to bend anyone in any way, but if the Lord has been speaking to your heart, you can give a one-time gift right now, and maybe the Lord's been speaking to your heart, you can do a little bit more than that. You can commit to a monthly amount to rescue those that are oppressed. Let the Lord minister to you right now. Father, we just ask God that you'd speak to our hearts right now. Have your way in our hearts and in our lives right now, Lord God. And let us know, Lord Jesus, what we can do, Father. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we live in a free country and a prosperous nation, a prosperous country. And so, Lord God, we just commit this offering to you and our hearts to you right now. Lord, and I ask that you will speak to hearts today about giving, becoming a partner with the International Justice Mission. So have your way, Lord, we pray. We commit them to you in Jesus' name. And the worship team is going to sing Freedom Reigns, and then we're going to stand at the end and just close with What a Beautiful Name. Let's worship the Lord.